Tim Bezbachenko is general manager of Toronto FC, and we're pleased that he joins Matt Barnaby and myself. And Tim, first of all, congratulations on going through. I kind of go along with what Michael Bradley said in the playoffs. You don't get brownie points. You don't get artistic merit points. You win, you move on. That's what the narrative should be. But I do have to ask you about what you know or what you can tell us about what happened in the tunnel at halftime, and is there a chance that Jozy Altidore gets that yellow rescinded and ends up dressing and playing for Toronto FC against Columbus?
Yeah, sure. Well, first, thanks for having me, guys. And most importantly, it's nice that we are moving on. And there's certainly a lot to unpack that took place at halftime, but over the course of the game. And for all the fans listening, it was a matter of the way we view it as sort of the game sort of flowing into the Tunnel Club in some ways, being the way it was officiated and the way the behavior of the Red Bull players and our inability to handle the situation in some ways emotionally. And I think what happened was in the Tunnel Club, which is an area right side outside of our locker room, is designated for some fans, but it's our area. It's almost an extension of our locker room. There's an area prior to our Tunnel Club where the New York Red Bull players are to turn left. And in this incident, their players entered our space, past the security, into what is effectively our locker room area. And that's where this skirmish, so to speak, happened. But it's unclear kind of what level, Jozy and the player got into it and whether or not it warrants a red card for their behavior. And it's actually unclear, on the reporting, whether or not it's a second yellow. What I'm reading is that it actually was a direct red given to Sasha and Jozy for violent conduct.
Do you feel there's a chance to overturn it with the league? And if not, does the team play a little different without having them in the lineup?
Yeah, we're gathering all the information and video clips and our security camera, and then we're going to submit it to the league, and it'll be up to them. What we know is, we believe that there's a chance, there's a case certainly to be made. I don't have all the information now, nor does Bill or anyone with our club. That's what we're taking today, taking our time with it. We have, obviously we have over 2 weeks before our next game, but in terms of whether or not we get Jozy back, that would be important. But if we don't, then it'll certainly change our team to some degree. But the way that, as it's a two-legged series, and the first game would be away in Columbus. And so we'll just have to adjust, and players will have to sub. Step up. We have to St. Ricketts and Jordan Hamilton, and we have a number of players who can step up and perform admirably in this situation.
One of the things that really confuses me about the situation, Tim, among many things, and I don't even know if you guys have the answer for this, but I'd be interested in knowing if the officials actually saw what happened, because they were out in the field talking to Michael for a while when the teams went in. And again, I don't pretend to know when, the sort of the breakdown, the TikTok of this event. But did the officials, they would have had to have, somebody would have had to see it, wouldn't they? One of the officials, a fourth official or one of the three, they would have had to have seen it with their own eyes.
Yeah, from what I'm reading in the match report, it seems like the fourth official saw the incident, or at least parts of it. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're trying to piece together. I think that there's obviously people ask, everyone has a different sort of memory of what happened. I'm not sure if the fourth official saw it with his own eyes or if he talked to anyone. So, and I think that's something the league has to figure out is what to, who to listen to and what to account for when they're making this decision.
One of the other things that kind of surprised me, and I admit I haven't kept up on how much video VAR has been used or anything like that in MLS in the second half of the season, but does there need to be more clarity from the league on the use of it? And were there instances yesterday where it could have made a difference? Because, both you and Greg are right, and I'm not just saying it's because you were in the air. That game got out of hand at times. It was not a well-officiated game.
Yeah, Look, it's the playoffs. Everyone's emotionally charged. There's a lot more at stake, and they were down two away goals, and mm-hmm. So they were going to have to. Their game plan from the beginning was to create chaos, and hopefully to get that first goal. And from the very beginning, you could tell that this ref, you know, Chris Pensa, was not up to the challenge, at least in terms of handling the emotions and being very either very strict from the beginning or setting a tone that our players are going to be, on both teams, are going to be taken care of. And if you look at the first half and the way that it was officiated, it was very, it was loose at times, it was stricter at times. And then when we call them key match incidents sort of came to be, we thought he failed. There's a couple times in particular on the first goal that was called back, for example, to your point about VAR, which is video assistant referee. He apparently called a foul on Osorio. And he pointed, sort of making that indication. And then the other assistant referee on the sideline put up his flag for offsides. The ball went in the goal. All they would have to have done at this point was call a goal, and then VAR would have been there to indicate both whether or not something was offsides and or whether or not there was a foul in the play. So for me, that's something the league has to look at, right? When you're in these key moments, you don't want to call that a goal that should have been allowed, not a goal, or the other way around. And I feel like it could have been used in this incident to a better degree. The second incident was the Victor Vasquez goal when there was no signal that a player should have to wait for the whistle to be blown. He kicks the ball in the goal, and the referee called it back. And from my understanding, he actually apologized to Victor and Michael after the game because he should have let that be a goal. So it just showed me that at least in this particular incident, we all have our bad days. This ref had a very bad day, very bad day.
You know what? You guys accomplished what you wanted. You reached the Eastern Conference Championship. What does Columbus possess? What challenges did they possess for you guys to get through them?
So Columbus is one of those teams that's coming in with a lot of momentum. Last night they lost their game, but they advanced on sort of the aggregate goal. But they, I believe it was 7 or 8 games that they had not, they were unbeaten going into the playoffs. So they have a couple things going for them. They're playing well, they have confidence. And then the second thing is this, what I call sort of the X factor, is they have this save the crew momentum, which is their owner has declared that he possibly will move the team to Austin in 2019. This has sparked an obviously a revolt from the fans and sort of a deep passion within the players to play for the fans and for the city. And I think you sort of throw these things into a pot, and they've been able to go down into Atlanta and beat Atlanta in front of 71,000, and then they were able to knock off New York City FC last night in a two-legged series. So in terms of this series with us, it's going to be emotionally charged for reasons both on and off the field. And then in terms of the actual play, they are a very well-coached team. Greg Berhalter I think he and Greg Vanney match wits in terms of their tactical acumen. I mean, they're very disciplined in their approach. They hold the ball. They're a possession-oriented team. They get numbers forward, especially on the flanks, which leaves them vulnerable to counterattacks. So we'll just have to figure out how we're going to approach the game, especially with a few players out in the first leg.
I would imagine that if the card to Josie isn't rescinded, and knowing that Seba won't be in the won't be in the lineup for the first leg, I mean, Victor Vasquez's presence in this team is going to be even more vital, isn't it? And I just, you know, I was really impressed last night. I thought there were a couple of times when that game could have gotten out of hand, and he, along with Alex Bono, particularly with that one save, did a real good job of settling things down. He really is a calming presence out there.
Yeah, I think if that's the case, I think Victor and Michael, you know, will lead this team in a lot of ways, whether or not that's sort of on the ball with their presence or just with their leadership. Victor is certainly the one that's pulling the strings for us, especially in the offensive half of the field. I think the big question will be sort of the formation and where you play Victor, if Greg decides to play Victor up, you know, sort of up top or in the middle. But he certainly will play a massive part in this game, because he by himself, whether or not you have Josie or Seba, Victor can set up all the players in the field, and then it's really just a matter of the other players executing when they get in those positions.
Tim, we're going to let you run. Appreciate you doing this. Again, congratulations on getting through, and best of luck against Columbus.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.